Welcome, listeners, Garden Party Vampires, to our first ever Garden Gnomes and Garlic Cloves book club meeting, virtually, COVID safe. My co-host is Elizabeth Summer. Say hi, Elizabeth.
Hello.
Elizabeth and I are super excited to share with you our garden party review of Dead Until Dark as well today. We're doing Midnight Sun first. Spoilers ahead for Midnight Sun, by the way. Hopefully if you're tuning in, you've read this book in its entirety. But Dead Until Dark, we will be giving a spoiler-free review. So yeah, let's dive right in. Well, I'm Gina Capricorn. If you want any more information about me, please check me out. An up-and-coming indie author. My website is tinacapricorn.com. Once you're there, I'd highly recommend you sign up for Bella's Cosmic Newsletter if you've ever wanted an email from an intergalactic chihuahua. So, and my book comes out December 1st, The Anchor of Time. Check it out, tinacapricorn.com. And follow me on Instagram at tinacapricornwrites, where you can also find all the information you want on Garden Party Vampires, including our book list, our cocktail list, which is very important, as well as our future virtual meetings here on Discord.
And lots of very cute pictures of Bella and Peaches.
And Peaches. And we encourage any of our Discord book club members to check out the cat photos channel, post a picture of your cat, your friend's cat. I mean, with their permission, of course. Elizabeth, am I missing anything? Is there anything you want me to, or you need to add?
I don't think so. Maybe just cheers if you made your
drink. Hey, cheers. If you have a drink or if you have made a drink per the cocktail that's inspired by our month's read, raise a toast and cheers. Cheers to books and friendship. Delicious. Yeah. Absolutely scrummy. So let's start with Midnight Sun.
Yay!
I want to just offer a few fun trivia facts about Midnight Sun right now. Something I didn't know was that actually this book, I think Stephanie Myers intended to write this book, and it was supposed to come out with the other trilogy, the Twilight trilogy. For those of you that don't know, you have to know that this is part of the Twilight series. But this Edward perspective was always meant to come out with the other books. Per this Guardian article I read this morning. But unfortunately in 2009, someone leaked the manuscript to the internet. And so she kind of dropped the project because she felt violated, first of all. And also like she couldn't trust whoever she had been sending her book to for feedback, you know, someone was compromised. And so she said she'd never pursue the project again. Here we are 15 years later with Midnight Sun, which is in fact the project she said she'd never finish. And she did eventually after Midnight Sun was, you know, accidentally or not so accidentally posted to the internet, she did actually post about 150 pages of this book on her website for many years. Before this, 5 years before this, she also had another book come out that was a Twilight spinoff called Life and Death. I had no idea about this, Elizabeth. Did you know about this?
No, not at all. Well,
I don't think I'm a Twihard fan, to know all of this Twilight trivia, but once I started digging, it became kind of fascinating. So the Life and Death one that came out about, you'll have to look it up. You can look it up on the internet, but I think it's called Life and Death. And it's Edith Cullen and Beau Swan. So she swaps the gender in that version. My door just opened. Never mind. This can all be edited later.
Bella. Hey.
Sorry. So as I was saying, Life and Death was another Twilight book that she wrote a few years ago, where she basically just did a gender swap and did the same romance, I assume. I haven't read that book. So her doing kind of spinoffs from this Twilight, this has been like her thing. But apparently Midnight Sun is the project that was never released. So that kind of makes it a little more magical and kind of influenced a little bit of my opinion on it. But also, just 2009, just to give you guys perspective, what a great year. Nothing like 2020. Just a few things that were happening in 2009. I don't know where you were in 2009, Elizabeth. But in 2009, Cristiano Ronaldo was awarded the FIFA Player of the Year. All passengers survived a flight malfunction on the Hudson River, thanks to Captain Sully Sullenberger. Grindr was first launched in 2009. And then the first female prime minister was also elected to Iceland in 2009. And Barack Obama became our 44th president in 2009. So just a few 2009 facts when this book was supposed to come out. Kind of crazy to think about. Anyway, I won't delay this any further. Elizabeth, I've been dying to know, how'd you like this book? How'd you like this Twilight book?
So I loved it as much as I loved the original Twilight books. You know, they're not books that I'm gonna, you know, like recommend to my most intellectual friends or anything. But I think if you love Twilight, or if you like had fun in that world, then you're gonna have a whole lot of fun reading, you know, this book.
Yeah.
What did you think?
I definitely, as a fan, reading it as you know, 19, 20-year-old Tina who first originally read those Twilight books, and you know, I have a very specific memory when I read them. I was seeing my sister on spring break from college, and I would read them on the flights whenever I would save up for these flights and go and see her, and I would read the book. It was so exciting because I never had time. I was in school and working all the time. So I don't know. I have a specific memory about Twilight and when I read it. And I think people that really love a book, it is kind of a landmark in their life. And Twilight was for me. I felt that this was a love letter to the fans from Stephanie Meyer. For those Twihards, you know, those people that really, really loved this story for what all the reasons, you know. Is it great fiction? It's a Twilight book, so that's no. But it has its own intrinsic value, especially, you know, when we're faced in a time like this year where escapism is awesome. So from that perspective, I found it, you know, fun, but I did find some of it very tedious. I liked the insight into Carlisle and Esme and all of the family stuff. But I felt
I totally agree with that. I really liked that we got to see how Alice's mind worked more because we were in Edward's head.
Mm-hmm.
That was really cool because we got to see how her predictions work. You know, and like how they're constantly changing and how she has to like think, okay, well, this scenario, and then suddenly like all the predictions change. It's kind of like she's always playing a chess game, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah. I think, you know, and in this particular novelization about vampires, Stephanie Meyer's vampires, now and then vampires have a special power. And so getting to see more insight into just the Cullens themselves was really good. It definitely read to me as a writer as these were the notes and context notes and world building things that we do as writers to make a world really rich. But some of the detail isn't necessarily necessary. Like Edward's, like, really detailed description of her room and the CDs she was listening to and like her candies that she liked. And those just really, those to me came across as very tedious. I felt like the bulk of the action, a lot like the original Twilight, happened in the last third of the book, you know, when the tracker is introduced and all of that. And the rest of it, to me, I was like, man, Edward, this is stalking.
Right. Okay. Well, so two things. I want to unpack what you just said. Because for one, I love that tedious stuff of like what CDs the person had, what books they had, you know, because like I just think that's super fascinating, especially because it like shows like a time and a place of a person too. Mm-hmm. And because like, you know, like I'm an album collector and I love when people look through my records. It's like a sense of pride. So I don't know. I was into that. But that other piece you were talking about him like coming off like a stalker, I felt like in this book, he really came off like a stalker. Like in
so much more.
Yeah. Like in the original series, he seemed creepy and obsessive and like all these bad things that like as a feminist, I'm like, no, thank you. But okay, I'll read in vampire fiction, you know?
Right.
But it was like a lot in this book.
Right. The things that Stephanie Meyer fictionalized within this relationship are, and we have to bear this in mind, and this will come up again, I think, in other books we read in this book club, because bodice-ripping romance, even though Stephanie Meyer's is very PG, because there is really no sex, there is still this, you know, not very friendly to feminist ideals about the romance, and Edward's like obsession, I would call it very clearly an obsession, and you know, I definitely picked up on that when I read Twilight. I'm like, this is giving a generation of women a very unreasonable sense of what a relationship will look like. And this is like even more. I'm like, she's really showing ways that you can be emotionally abusive. Because he even talks about how Bella takes care of her parents. Like, she's a caretaker. And so here's another person I can lass a wind to my codependency. Maybe I'm reading way too much into this vampire cozy, but this is what podcasts drive me to, this kind of stuff. But
I,
you know,
I understand that. Cause for me, when I read it, I'm like, okay, well, either I'm gonna overanalyze how dysfunctional their relationship is, or I'm gonna be like, whatever, he has great intentions, and just enjoy it.
And I think at the end of the day, if you dismiss all of that stuff that I just said, and you're just like, Bella's into this 100-year-old vampire that is super hot, and she's hoping that he will make her into a vampire, and he's really into her and can't resist her. It's like this, yeah, this is why we read romance, you know? So take it with a grain of salt. I had fun reading it. It did take me a while. I listened to it on Audible. I listened to it on Audible and I read on my Kindle. I did both.
Wait, I didn't know you were also listening to it on Audible. Yeah, that's what I was doing.
I was doing both.
Because I really want to talk to you about the guy that read it.
Okay, yeah.
Midwestern. And how, like, I would be, like, super into the romance. I'm, like, feeling the Edward fantasy. And then he would pronounce something like a Midwesterner. And I was totally taken out.
I thought he did a great job reading. He's an excellent voice, but there are a few times I agree with you. I think especially the final scenes where they're like escaping from the tracker and Bella's getting really emotional and he does these emotional lines of Bella's. There are a few times where I'm like, I don't know about that one. You should have tried it that way.
For me, it was every time you said bagel. I'm just like, I can't even deal with bagel. I'm just like, it's bagel.
It's Civil War.
Oh, man. But overall, I agree. He did a fantastic job reading it. That was my only qualm.
Right. Right.
But Tina, I would like to like go back to what you were saying about like Edward is 100 years old.
He's 100 years old, and then he's still in high school. Yeah. And the whole going to high school thing is because that allows them to stay in their more permanent residence. They're one of the few vampire families or covens that stays permanently in their settlement. And and going to high school allows them to remain longer because they start out so, quote, young, was the kind of, and I think too, and maybe this is what quarantine has also given me more of an in perspective, the monotony of being immortal, you know, when you are a champion of everything, maybe going to high school kind of breaks up like that long stretch. And, you know, he's like, ostensibly too, Edward, like the first time he falls in love is with Bella. So this is all new to him too.
Right. But like all of that is what I had a really hard time with from his perspective. From mm-hmm. Bella's perspective, I was buying it. I was like living the like, I was like, I felt like it was kind of like when Angel and Buffy fall in love, you know, in Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. I was believing it from Bella's perspective, but when I started hearing it from Edward's perspective, I'm like, dude, like you just talked all about how you're really old and how like you've done this so many times and how like, you know, you've been in high school a bajillion times. You've been living, you're so mature. You're so much older than all the high schoolers. Like they focus on that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to fall in love with a 17-year-old. I'm like, ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was hoping that this book would make that less creepy and weird. I will say that to me, some of her explanations about him not being able to read Bella and being irresistibly drawn to Bella. And then when, you know, well, spoiler alert, she does become a vampire in Breaking Dawn Part 2. Her vampire superpower is being a null, is nullifying other people's powers, which, you know, she kind of partially manifests as a human. You know, and so it kind of does tread on the line of she is special even though she's just human. You know, even though you're just human, you can still be special in this world, and that does translate to your other supernatural powers.
When it was from Bella's perspective, to me, I bought that more of Bella's mm-hmm. just really special, right? Because mm-hmm. like we put ourselves in the narrator's shoes and we're like, oh, well, I'm really special. Duh, 100-year-old vampire is going to want to be with me, you know?
That's but what like, you want.
Right. But when it's from Edward's perspective, it did feel creepier to me.
Yeah, some of the context didn't reassure me. It actually made me be like, now.
Yeah. But like Tina, what you were saying about like Bella being a shield, like I thought it was so interesting because there's one part, well, there's a few parts where Edward's trying to read Charlie's mind, Bella's dad.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not able to, mm-hmm. like as well as he's able to read other minds. And so I was wondering like, oh, is Charlie like half a shield?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it totally made me think about how, you know, and I don't know if Stephanie Myers developed this, but that, you know, obviously the tribe, the Native American tribe in Forks has a special superhuman powers because they turned into wolves. But also she's showing that in even the general population of Forks, Bella's dad also has something a little bit different about him as a human. And would that translate if he were turned for some reason? Because, you know, it seems like Stephanie Myers is stuck on this story. So I feel like if she were to release another book, let's see what Edward and Bella are up to in 50 years when, you know, Bella's taking care of her aged human parents. And or maybe between then and now she's turned, you know, Charlie, or I don't know. I don't want to give Stephanie Myers too many ideas. But, you know, I did like that inclusion of, because of Edward's perspective, we get to hear so much more interior narration from other characters without her having to break from his perspective. It's a pretty cool power, and she wielded it, I think, in a fun way in the text. So,
I think so too. Tina, I'm curious. Were you let down by anything in this book? Like, were you hoping that it would have something in it that wasn't there?
I think I definitely read it out of nostalgia for the first Twilight. Again, books are markers for where we were in our lives, especially books that we really love and the first time we read them. And you can never read a book for the first time ever again. And so I think for me, and you know, why we buy these kind of books, that is this a good standalone book? I think this really is. You wouldn't even really enjoy this unless you were a person that loved Twilight. This was for Twilight fans. This isn't for, you know, I don't know. I don't want to say who this is for and who this isn't, but this really felt to me like a love letter to Twilight fans and those people that are just the ones that love Edward and Bella and their love story and are invested in it and would buy, you know, the update, the Edward perspective. And I think for those fans too, they would know that kind of stuff that I mentioned at the beginning, which was, you know, this manuscript had a very troubled road to publication and was compromised along the way. And I wonder too how the story may have changed because it was leaked 15 years or 13 years ago. But, you know, thankfully we got it released. We got it released in a year where we really needed some escape reading. I know when you reached out to me originally about reading or about Twilight in general, it was just because all the movies were on Prime and that kind of started us both down this book club path, because vampire stuff is fun and so is hanging out with your friends and having a fun drink.
So true.
Were you disappointed by any of it, or do you feel like you had a pretty good reading experience?
I had a pretty good reading experience, but I was hoping, because it was going to be from Edward's perspective, I was hoping we'd get more flashbacks from like the early days. Like, I wanted some historical fiction fantasy, you know?
Or like, because she also talked about how once you become a vampire, your mortal life, the memories of your mortal life become very vague and you kind of forget them. Because I think Carlisle has a pretty sad origin story and he's thankful that he doesn't have to remember a lot of that. So she kind of got out of doing that. But I agree, some fiction stuff, historical fiction, she has such an opportunity with that. But I did like the flashbacks that were included. I thought that was really fun.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
One thing that I was really glad that this book addressed was why Edward wears turtlenecks. Because I got to tell you, of all things that bothered me about the original Twilight series, there's nothing that bothered me more than having the lead guy wearing turtlenecks.
Mm-hmm.
And they were beige, too. Beige turtlenecks. I'm like, gross. Not cute. But when they explained it, I was like, okay, I can move on with my life now. Mm-hmm.
He was just trying to like not show any of his skin, pretty much.
Right.
Yeah.
But that has seriously really bothered me.
Yeah, turtlenecks, I mean, maybe from when she first started writing it, they were a little more in, but I feel like turtlenecks are very 90s. So,
yeah.
No excuse why that's just not good. He needs to have like a pop collar. I don't know. You're right. When you're right, you're right.
And then another just general like question that I still have with like by the Twilight series and really like with any vampire fantasy. So if some author out there can answer this for me, I would love it. Is like, can Bella ever fart in front of Edward?
Why couldn't she?
Well, because like vampires' sense of smell is way heightened.
That's true.
Especially in Twilight series, they talk about it all the time about how like, you know, the wolves smell really bad. Because if she farted, like, he would know exactly what
romance
she ate.
Romance over. Yeah. She's been holding it in for years.
Yeah.
I'm surprised she didn't mention indigestion as a plot point.
Seriously.
Yeah.
I think if Bella had stayed a human, she would have had some serious GI, like, issues.
Yeah. Yeah. Or just, like, you know, maybe started just drinking a liquid diet. Just veggies. I don't know. Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. Okay. I think we should move on to Charlene Harris, in the Sookie Stackhouse novels. And this discussion Elizabeth, we're both reading this, but I want to talk about this in a way that if someone hasn't read it, hasn't seen True Blood, wants to get into it, because she's got so many books out there. I tried to count them all. They're over 10. She was writing these books from 2001 to 2013. It's an HBO series. True Blood. Fun fact, I've actually met Sam Trammell, who plays Sam on True Blood in real life. That's my one claim to fame. That's it.
That's really cool.
Yeah. But yeah, that is one of my favorite books, Dead Until Dark. Sookie and Bill, love them. They're one of my favorite couples. Charlene Harris does a great job of writing a very relatable character who has bills to pay and grieves her losses and works at a shitty job. But, you know, loves her coworkers, deals with the public and all the stupid ways that the public are, you know, in a way. Sookie lives with Twitter in her head. She lives with all the trolls in her head talking constantly. Cause she's got special powers. She's telepathic. And that's one of the reasons that Bill is attracted to her. What are you thinking so far about your read, Elizabeth?
Love it. Absolutely love it. I love True Blood so much. One of the first things that I rewatched while in quarantine was True Blood. I will probably watch it again before all of this is over.
Mm-hmm.
So great. So I'm already in love with the story, in love with the characters. But yeah, I really like it. I felt like you know, there are certain characters, like, without giving anything away, like, there's this one character who's a friend of Sophie's brother, Jason. The friend's name is Renee. And I like that more of his backstory is covered than earlier on than it was mm-hmm. in the show. So mm-hmm. that makes me happy.
Yeah. Yeah, she did a great job with her characters. I think she did a good job with just kind of Southern culture, speaking as someone from the South. I'm definitely not from Louisiana. I know you spend a lot of time down there, so that might be fun. Has that been fun kind of seeing stuff that reminds you of your time when you lived there? Or do you feel like she got that kind of right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of the time the South is not written very well.
And I agree, yeah.
It is nice to see when it's not just like, and here come the dumb redneck.
Yeah.
I grew up in Georgia and I'm not like that. So,
yeah.
Glad. It's always nice to see people that, you know, are like real Southern people.
Yeah, absolutely. I think she does a great job with that. Really good characterizations and not just stereotypes. So, yeah, that is Dead Until Dark. Oh, go ahead.
Tina, I really want to know what it's like for you sharing a name with one of the characters in Sookie's world.
Oh, you mean Tina, her friend?
Her cat.
Oh, her cat. Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. You know, I get far more Tina the llama jokes than I get Tina the cat jokes. That's what I will say. Napoleon Dynamite still beats Sookie Stackhouse on Tina jokes.
What a shame.
I know. all right.
I think it's fun that today we're doing a book where you're in one of the books, and then your dog, of course, is in another of the books.
That is funny. I didn't even think about it that way. Bella is also my chihuahua, which, by the way, everyone always used to ask me, she's not named after Bella Swan. She's named after Bellatrix Lestrange. So, and I didn't actually get to choose her name. If I did, I would have called her Snacks because she's bite-sized. Oh, well, I'm going to wrap this up by plugging our next book meeting, which will be, I believe, what day did we say that was going to be? Do you remember?
I don't remember.
Oh. Well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to check out my website, TinaCapricorn.com, because it will tell me. There's a total tab on TinaCapricorn.com called Garden Party Vampires. You can go there, get all of your Garden Party Vampire, Garden Gnome and Garlic Clove book club info, including the book list, as well as when we're having meetings, which is why I'm looking on my own website. Book list and schedule. I have a whole tab for it. Okay. Our next meeting is November 22nd, and we are reading A Quick Bite by Lindsay Sands. It's book one of the Argano series. Shout out to Gretchen at Malaprops, who recommended this book. I did reach out to my local indie Malaprops in here in downtown Asheville to get some book recommendations for this book club. And I wanted also to read some books that I hadn't read before. So I'm super excited about Lindsay Sands, A Quick Bite, which again, just like Charlene Harris, this is book one of a huge series. So if you need to go down a book hole to escape all the horrors that are 2020, please do so. These are great books. And the other book, we're going to do a spoiler-free review, kind of like we did Dead Until Dark, where we're going to talk about it, but we're not going to ruin it for you, is Halfway to the Grave by Janine Frost, which is book one of the Cat and Bones series. Also another paranormal vampire romance. I don't know if you've noticed a theme yet. Those are the kind of books we're reading. But yeah, November 22nd, right here on Discord on the Garden Party Vampire server. And until then, follow me on Instagram at Tina Capricorn Writes. Elizabeth, is there anything I'm missing?
I don't think so. I guess I would just like to say that I have really enjoyed having a reason to read some fun vampire fantasy.
Yay!
Yes. Because left to my own devices, I'll just read like every book I can find about the 1918 pandemic.
Right. And we need to practice self-care, which also means reading something that's fun. Because life, you know, you got to have fun, too. While you're being safe. And voting. Go vote. All right. Woop, woop. All right, Garden Party. Oh, go ahead.
If you live in North Carolina, in Asheville, you can go to UNCA and get a cool pen.
Ooh, free pens. Sign me up. All right. This concludes episode one of Garden Party Vampires. I am Tina Capricorn.
And I'm Elizabeth Summers.
And we'll see you next time.
Cheers.
Cheers. All right.